camera, so here we go. And this is Bob Fisher reporting for Talking Travel again from the Czech Republic. And this time I'm talking to Jim Thompson, who is a member of the Executive Committee of the World Federation of Journalists and Travel Writers. And the acronym, once again, for that is FEJET. Jim, let's start with, how did you become involved in FEJET?
I became involved really through an associate who called me one day and said, you know, there's an organization that's based in Prague that has something to offer internationally in terms of travel, and you ought to look into it. And at first I kind of dismissed it as just one more group, one more organization that sort of wants to be something but really is nothing at all. But I got involved, I did make the call, and found out that in fact this is an international group of travel journalists. It's an organization that was started over 50 years ago, making it not only the largest organization at the time with 900-plus members, but also the oldest. They traced their beginnings back to Paris in 1954. So I looked a little bit closer, and I must say the first meeting that I went to was kind of unusual for me, because being an American, I went there with a typical American attitude and expected everyone to be American, or at least act like Americans. Well, I was pretty shocked when I got into a room filled with people from every country in the world, 20 different languages going on all at the same time. And I was kind of like a fish out of water. And my first impression was, oh, these people, you know, they couldn't be that smart. Well, I talked to one person who spoke 7 languages and someone else who spoke 8 languages. And I'm feeling smaller and smaller as the time goes on. And I realized that this was a very intelligent group of journalists who have come together in one place for the same purpose, and that is to exchange ideas about journalism and to find better ways of performing their profession. So, as I say, I first felt fairly small about it, and then I began to get more and more involved. I finally ran for an election and was fortunately elected to the executive committee, but it's been a learning experience from the very, very beginning.
And you are now one of 9 members of the executive committee of what is a very large, as you say, it's the largest travel journalist association in the world. Now, what, as an executive member, what kind of things do you do?
We get to handle
everything, right?
We get to handle all the problems. If there's a problem, they come to us. You lose luggage, whatever it is, they come to us ultimately.
For example, we are at the 48th Congress of FEJET here in the Czech Republic, and I think you've been very heavily involved in organizing this.
I have, but it's mainly been Peter Kulnick who's done most all of the work. I've just been his assistant as well as the other executive committee members. But to answer your question, basically, we are there to do the daily running. We're kind of like an executive board. Well, we are an executive board, but we're like a management team. And we determine what needs to be done, and the small decisions we make ourselves. So the daily running, the daily business we take care of. The larger decisions are done by the board of directors. The board of directors is made up of the presidents of the associations from each of the countries. And there's about 35 members of the board of directors. So it's really quite a democratic group, or at least we try to make it a democratic group. So the larger decisions when it comes to finances, how to spend our monies, what kind of awards to give out, where the next Congress is going to be, this is all handled through the board of directors. So the executive committee will take the initial decision, we'll look into the problem, we'll study it, come up with what we think is a solution, but then we'll present it to the board of directors, and then they will make the final vote on it.
Now, I happen to know that there's a whole new set of bylaws for FEJET that has just been passed at this Congress, and that you happen to be the person primarily responsible for those bylaws. Can you talk to me about them?
Oh, I can talk to you for hours about this and bore you to death with this, as a matter of fact.
But bylaws are very important for an organization like this. Why?
Well, they're extremely important, and this is something that needed to be done for a long, long time. Again, you need to think of this international organization and people speaking lots of languages. We have 3 official languages, English, French, and Spanish. No one really wanted to take on this task, to do a new set of bylaws, but it was necessary because the bylaws we had were at least 10 or 15 years old, and they reflected what was defined 10 or 15 years ago, but they were just very basic, and they didn't spell out the kinds of things that we needed. So the bylaws that we have now, I believe, really signify a new beginning for FEJET. This is the 48th Congress, as you said, but really you could almost consider this the first Congress of a new era for FEJET. Because our bylaws say things, for example, that in order to be a member, you must produce, you must be an active professional journalist currently working. It doesn't mean that you were 20 years ago the greatest journalist in your country. It means that today you are a professional journalist. And if you go to a Congress, it means you must produce stories from that Congress or photographs or whatever your particular area of expertise is. Other things in the bylaws that are important is we've opened up for the first time new categories of membership. In the past 50-some-plus years, to be a member, you had to be a journalist. Now you can be a journalist, which gives you a journalist membership designation, or you could be an affiliate member. An affiliate member is someone who is maybe in the public relations industry as a minister of tourism or worked for a tourism board of a country. There are people involved in tourism, but they are...
Because we're all in this together.
We're all in this together, and I think that we can share ideas. As a journalist, I rely on public relations people to help me in my job, to provide me with basic information. And I think it's important that we be able to work with them. Now, however, there needs to be a separation. For example, at this Congress, I am sure the people at the Czech Republic not only welcome journalists, but they also welcome tour operators, because those tour operators bring in direct revenues to them. They're going to bring in 400 guests to stay in a hotel or 500 people to go on a tour. So they do want them, but they have to speak to them in a different fashion than they speak to journalists. There's no reason why they can't be in the same Congress, but we may have different workshops for them. Although, overall, it will still be a journalist organization. The affiliate members, although they can be members, they will not have a vote in the running of the organization. They can attend the meetings, but they will not have a vote. So it will still be the journalists who make the determination. We've also established a category for honorary members, those who have maybe been members for the last 20 or 30 years. They're no longer active. We don't want to just throw them out on the street because they've contributed to our organization.
Eldership.
Exactly. And they have something to offer as well to the younger members. So we'll put them in an honorary category. We won't charge them any fees per year. They're allowed to come to our gatherings, but they will be designated as an honorary member.
Do you have a young journalist program?
We do have a young journalist program.
And how does that operate?
Well, you know, that's a pretty exciting operation. And basically what we do is we would like to do it every single year, but it's been now kind of sporadic. Hopefully we'll get it on a more regular basis. But we invite young journalists, and these are people who are studying journalism, hopefully people in university, who want to be active journalists as a profession, to go to a location. And the last one we had was held in Tunisia. We invited them there. We paid their way. In our case, we had some people from the States come, and our organization paid half of their fare, and FEJET paid the other half. So it was no cost to them. They came there. They were able to not only meet, but actually work with seasoned journalists from other countries. So they had exposure not just to how the job is done, but how other cultures work and how they approach the whole business of journalism.
So the very best of experiential learning from their point of view.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's something I don't think you can really find anywhere else. A guest lecturer may come in, but to have 10 or 15 journalists from other areas to sit there with you and say, this is how we do it in our country, and then allow that young journalist to write a story about the location, and then have those people go back and look at it, maybe criticize it, offer them suggestions. I think it's a pretty wonderful program.
Now, as FEJET enters a new era, and I think we would all agree that the whole industry of travel and tourism is in a new era, for a number of years now. Certainly people talk about the tipping point of 9/11. In terms of how do you think the role of the travel journalist has changed or will change now in the 21st century?
The role of the travel journalist, of course, changes every year, just depending on what goes on. But right now, of course, we're in a kind of a crisis period almost for the traveler, which means also the travel journalist. And that, in fact, is the theme of this year's Congress, and that is positives coming out of a world of negatives. You know, and we've seen a lot of negatives in this past year or so, floods, fires, war, terrorism attacks. Just the fact of traveling is difficult now. You've got long security lines. You've got delays. You've got overcrowded airlines. It's no longer fun to travel. It's fun to arrive and fun to be at a destination, but it's no longer, the act of travel is no longer fun. For the travel journalists, I mean, in terms of nuts and bolts, it's difficult because budgets have dropped within newspapers, magazines, radio, television. In the old days, at least in my organization, we had 5 or 10 or 15 staff members. Now we have 2 or 3. We had budgets. We could get on planes. We could go places. Now we're very strict. Where can we go? Well, we can only do 2 or 3 trips a year. In between, we have to still file a story every week. How do we do that? Well, we have to look to the public relations professionals to provide us with material. So I think that we're now more dependent than we were in the past on other types of professionals. So.
And do you think there are more difficult issues that we have to deal with now when we cover destinations that in the past perhaps we didn't have to deal with?
I think we do. Again, this what is becoming a symbiotic relationship between the journalist and the public relations staff member has made in some ways our job easier, but it's caused a lot of potential problems. And the biggest problem, of course, is the most obvious one, and that is if a public relations person, number one, helps you, and number two, gives you a free trip somewhere, you feel kind of obligated to write a good story. Editors in magazines expect you to come back with a positive story, even though you've gone to an area where there's maybe high crime, and on one hand, your feeling is, I have to tell the truth. I've got to tell the traveler, if you're in this part of this city, don't go to this area at night, because you could be mugged. But yet, it's hard to sell that as a story to a magazine or a newspaper who wants to do a nice, wonderful Sunday supplement with beautiful pictures. So there's a conflict.
And yet, on the other hand, for example, Talking Travel, we took the show to Jordan. And when we went there, people said, what, are you crazy going there? And yet it turned out we were in the fortunate position to say and show this is a great destination, and don't hesitate to go here.
I think the bottom line always with travel is attitude. If you go with a good attitude, if you go with a smile on your face, if you go expecting to have a good time, you will have a good time. So many people travel, by the time they get on the airplane and arrive, they're already upset. They're already mad at everything. Their luggage has been lost. Their money is not enough. Their hotel is not what it looked like in the brochure. And they start out almost saying, I'm going to have a bad time. Yeah, guaranteed, you're going to have a bad time. So much of this is just simple attitude, and Jordan is a wonderful country. There's so much great culture and history there, and if you go there looking for that and looking for the good, you're going to find it.
Now, the name Jim Thompson is not unknown in the travel business and certainly in the travel journalism business, and Jim Thompson is the president of Travel Journal. Talk to me about Travel Journal.
We are an organization, again, of journalists, in some ways similar to VJet, but we operate only in North America. So our journalists are only in Canada and the United States. We have pretty strict criteria. We're a very small organization, and some people say, well, why aren't you big? There's bigger organizations. I say, yeah, that's true. There are bigger organizations. But, you know, we purposely keep ours small because, number one, as president, I feel that I should have a personal relationship with all of our members of some type. If we had 300 members, I could not have a personal relationship. And part of that personal relationship means that I know what they're doing, that I know that they really are some of the top people in the country. Also, just like VJet or any other travel group, we look for places to go, to hold a congress, to hold a convention. And in order to do that, we have to show that we are productive. And it's easier for me to be able to say, okay, our members are the Associated Press or the New York Times, recognized publications or recognized journalists, than to say, well, yeah, we've got some people who occasionally write a story. So we purposely kept it small. We're also the North American representative for VJet. You know, we are their North American association.
Great. And one last question. There are a lot of young people, and I've met some here in the Czech Republic, as a matter of fact, who want to get into the field of travel journalism. Give them some advice.
Well, get a nice suitcase and be prepared for some hard times, because the problem with travel journalism is that there's a lot of people who want to do it. There's not a lot of good people, but there's a lot of people who think because they've taken a summer vacation that suddenly they're qualified to get their story published somewhere. Be persistent, I would say, is the number one thing. Don't give up. It's a great, great profession, and believe me, the rewards are there. And as I have often said, number one, you're not going to make a lot of money in this profession. There isn't a lot of money in it. But you'll never be a millionaire, but you'll be able to live like one if you're a travel writer.
Now, just before we finish, I want to make sure that for our listeners and readers that they have the websites. And for FeeJet, the website is what?
Is www.feejet.web.com.
And Travel Journal, the website is?
Travel Journal is, just as you guessed, www.traveljourno.com. That's J-O-U-R-N-O.
Jim Thompson, I thank you very much for this.
My pleasure, Bob. Thank you.